gather once again to worship. Really want to appreciate our worship team and reminding us. Let's show our appreciation to them. And there's no sense of fear. There's no sense of us not expecting good things from our Father, because He's a Father of lights without any shadow or turning or variation. That means God is always kind to us. Amen. Now, the Bible says, you know, I am the Lord who is unchanging. Unchanging doesn't mean God never changes His mind. But when we talk about God who is unchanging, that means He is righteous. And His righteousness never changed. That today, He is less righteous than He was yesterday. But every time we engage Him, we can sense His unchanging righteousness. But at the same time, He also says to us, I'm a God who, behold, I'm doing a new thing. That God always ushers new season for us. New things is not something more for us to learn, but new thing is a greater experience of knowing who God is. And there's no way we can ever outgrown God. And recently, a few months ago, I was reading about your learning style, right? And you say there are four kinds of learning styles. Some of us are visual learner. Some of us are audio. We need to listen. Those who are audio, thank God for podcasts. You don't have to see. You just need to hear. Some of us are what we call readers. We learn by reading. We cannot follow what the lecturer is going on about, or even sometimes the sermon, let's read, you know, or we write it out. And some of us are what kinesthetic. That means we need to experience, we need to touch, we need to feel. And in one sense, in our modern world, we all will so-called find our way of learning. But in biblical times, you know, there are also different ways of learning. Right? And this is something we want to talk about. How do I build up my faith? How do I grow in the Word of God? What is the how, or rather, what is my learning posture when it comes to the Word of God? And today's sermon's title is, How Do You Receive God's Word? How do you receive God's Word? And for the past few weeks, I've been talking about looking to Jesus, who is the cornerstone of our faith. Remember? And Jesus then was teaching us through His Word about how, especially from the Sermon of the Mount, in which those who listen to My Word will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. If you do not listen to what I'm saying, you know, you're like the man who built your house on the sand. And He says, the rain will come, the wind will come, bad things will happen, but the one, the way He says, who listen, and listen is not just hearing, but involved doing. Every time you read the Word of God, when the Word of the Lord says listen, or it talks about hearing, it's not just having information, but enjoying the transformation. And this is where we need to ask ourselves this question today throughout this sermon, is how do you receive God's Word? How do you receive God's Word? And in biblical time, there are teachers called rabbi. Do you know how rabbi chooses their disciples? Okay, let me give you a glimpse to biblical time. Next slide, please. There's four kinds of learners, according to the rabbis of old. First, you have the sponge. The sponge is one that absorbs everything but processes nothing. Just taking all kinds of stuff and just carrying it. And then you have the funnel who receives everything but also loses everything. Keep nothing. And then you have the strainer. The strainer is different from the sieve. Just in case you don't know, especially if you never do kitchen work, let me tell you. The strainer keeps the bad stuff. That's why in our kitchen sink, there is a strainer because we pour away all the stuff so it catch all the bits and pieces of everything else. So it keeps the bad stuff. But the sieve, which is slightly smaller in size, keeps the good stuff. Everyone say, oh. Okay, now, revelation. Question is, very simple. If you want to follow a rabbi, and the rabbi looks at you and assesses you, he will say, is that person a sponge? Is that person a funnel? Is that person a strainer? Or is a person a sieve? Because the one who is a sponge just takes everything. You are the person who in your class, you record everything the lecturer say. But you never listen to it again. You just have a lot of recordings. or you are the funner. You go in, you come out, you say, I learned nothing. Or you remember the bad stuff. Or rather, the rabbi say, I'm looking for the thief, the one who keeps the good stuff. And this is how Jesus began to show example. If you look at the gospel chapter in Matthew chapter 13, and we can look at the slide. And it tells us what Jesus was doing at that time. He began to begin his ministry. This is just after his Sermon on the Mount, right? We read from chapter 5, chapter 7. Jesus went up to the mountain. He sat down with his disciples and began to teach them. After that, John the Baptist was arrested, and Jesus now began to minister in the different places. It says, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed and fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seeds fell on the good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Now turn to your neighbor and say to that person, whoever has ears, let them hear. I don't say in a patronizing way, say in a very convincing way. Whoever has ears, let him hear. I think most of us are familiar with this parable. We call it the parable of the sower, but actually it's wrong titled. Now, it's a wrong titled parable because it's more of the parable of the four soils. Right? Or the parable of the four soils. Soil. Or the four ground. Or the four fields. It's just like the Karate Kid. Right? Remember Karate Kid? There was no karate at all. The one done by Jackie Chan, right? Chinese Kung Fu, but called Karate Kid. Okay, so this is not the parable of the sower, but rather the parable of the four soils. And what happened? Next slide, it says, the disciple came to him and asked. What did the disciple ask Jesus? Can we all read the print in red? Why do you speak to the people in parables? First, let us define what is a parable. A parable is like a good joke. It's either you get it or you don't. No one ever attempt to explain a joke. By the time you explain a joke, it falls apart. But a parable is actually a very simple teaching or a simple story that comes with a spiritual lesson. And the disciples were puzzled because they just came down from a spiritual retreat with Jesus in a mountain, and there on the mountain, Jesus downloaded to them the message of the kingdom. Throughout his 3.5 years of ministry, Jesus only preached one message, and that is the gospel of the kingdom. Right till the day he was betrayed, he was telling them the gospel of the kingdom. And then he was crucified. And on the third day, he rose again. Guess what he told them? The parable of the gospel of the kingdom. Right to the 40 days before he was taken up, he was still teaching them the gospel of the kingdom. One message. And then, this is what happened, was he was giving all the disciples up on this mountain retreat, all the mystery, all the deep implication of what it means to follow him. And then suddenly when Jesus came among the people, he wasn't giving them all those, what we call, those hard lessons or those wonderful lessons. He started telling them parables. And this somehow causes confusion among the disciples because Jesus is a master teacher. Imagine if you go to your local university and your lecturer have a string of PhD. But throughout your 1 hour with that person, he tells you nothing but jokes. And you're wondering why this guy, instead of giving you some deep stuff or opening up something or challenge you mentally, this guy who have a PhD was telling you jokes after jokes after jokes. If Jesus was going to apply for a job in a Western Australian school, he would not meet the KPI. Because unlike our teacher, they are supposed to teach us something. They're supposed to give us some kind of information. And when our teacher cannot teach us or we cannot learn, our teacher is supposed to help us to learn. But Jesus is what we call an oriental teacher. His style is what we call an oriental style of teaching. A bit like Master Wu Gui of the Kung Fu Panda series. He teach by not teaching. And by not teaching, he's teaching. I come from the oriental style of teaching. Now, too often we think that we need to sit down, get our papers and pen ready, we're going to get something deep. But here was Jesus telling parables after parables. And then what Jesus was trying to do, so-called stumbled or affected his disciples. Say, why are you teaching them all these things? They're so shallow. Come on, give them the deep stuff. And then Jesus, as the typical oriental teacher, will say, I don't teach for people to get it. I teach for people to catch it. There's a difference. You can teach for people to get it, or you teach people in order for them to catch it. And that word of God is fascinating. You know, a great man of God once says that the Bible, right, is so shallow that a baby Christian can swim in it without fear of getting drowned. But it can be so deep that a theologian can barely touch its bottom. The Bible is alive. It's active. It's dynamic. You know, you can be a one-day-old Christian. You can learn something without fearing yourself getting lost in it. But you can be a Christian for many years. You could have those series of titles behind you. But yet, when you read it, you say, wow, it's so deep. I don't get it. And that is a fantastic way of learning scripture, is that it's not about us getting something, but catching something. And then Jesus went on. He says this. He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them. Now, if you were his disciple, you would be very puzzled. Jesus, aren't you here making more disciples? And why are you not making it for people to understand? Why are you making it in such a way that, in fact, you don't want people to understand? And then Jesus said that those, like you, referring to them, if you were seeking the kingdom, more of the kingdom will be revealed to you. But if you are not seeking the kingdom, whatever little you have, you will lose it. Very mysterious. Jesus, in one sense, didn't make it easy for people to follow him if they do not want to follow him. But if you choose to follow Jesus, okay, what I'm going to say is very unscientific, but it's true. It gets easier and easier. Only if you are fully persuaded by the message of the kingdom. Then now Jesus began to do a Bible study with his disciples. All right, next slide says, verse 13 says, this is why I speak to them in parables, Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will ever be seeing, but never perceiving. This is the quality of the sponge. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. The funnel. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. This is a quality of the sieve, keeping the good stuff. Everything begins with the heart. This is what Jesus said. And then he quoted from the prophet Isaiah. In fact, if you ever read Isaiah, when he began his ministry, God told him, you will never succeed in your ministry. People will be seeing, but not going to get it. People hearing it, is not going to perceive it. But Isaiah, amazing, right? Amazing is, when you are told you're never going to succeed in your ministry, he wrote 66 chapter. In fact, I think it's the longest prophetic book in the Bible. It was only years later, all the prophetic word he ever utters that was pointing people to Jesus, to the cross, to the Messiah, that things begin to happen. So here, remember, in your lifetime, God told you, you will never succeed in your ministry. But 800 years from now, do you know what happened in the New Testament? Isaiah is the most quoted prophet. Other than the Psalms, Isaiah is the most quoted Old Testament prophet. Because what he was going to lay down was for a generation who will see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, so they may turn. And God said, I will heal them. That is why I say again and again that to Jesus, sin is not a crime to be punished, but rather sin is a sickness to be healed. That turning is repentance. It's a renewing of our mind. It's a reorientation of our heart. Repentance is not more than just repenting from sin, but repentance means it's a turning of your heart towards the truth. And the truth that you know is the truth that sets you free. And how many of you, when you are set free of something, do you not say that is a kind of healing? Because once you have a wrong thinking about something, everything goes pear-shaped. But once you begin to understand, begin to see, begin to hear, begin to understand, your heart begins to turn towards God. It's moldable. It's not made of stone in a sense, but there is a what Jeremiah was saying. It was quoted in Hebrew saying what? A heart of the flesh. Not fleshy as in sin, but a heart that is able to receive. It's softened. In one sense, God's word acts like a good massage. It prepares us to receive. And when we receive, something good is going to happen. So my question to all of us, brothers and sisters, okay, it's not a judgment, but it's a question. Have my knowledge of the Word of God grew more in 2024 than it did in 2023? And do I have the desire that my knowledge of the Word of God will grow much more in 2025? Again, remember, it's not about Bible knowledge, because knowledge passed up, but rather to receive revelation that sets us on the path of truth, and the truth will set us free. And then now Jesus said to the disciples, but blessed are you because they see, and your ears because they hear. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, but to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. So these Old Testament prophets talked about the coming Messiah. They never got to see it. They were the announcer. They were the forerunner. But Jesus said, all you 12 guys, and later all the 70s of you, what a privilege you are, because you are receiving something the people of old could not see. You are hearing something the people of old cannot hear. Every Sunday we gather here, we are a privileged group of people because we get to hear the gospels being preached to us again. Not again, but again. Right? We don't come and say, oh, why are we singing the same old song again? But again. There's a difference. It's the same word. But your posture, your attitude is again. Right? Sometimes you see this cartoon show, the father drive recklessly with the son and daughter and almost kill a few times, but at the end the child laughs. Let's do it again. Right? And I think that is a sense of that relationship we have. And then Jesus say, listen, okay, in verse 18. He said, listen. Every time you read the word listen means what? Listen. Means, you know, old, I like King James. King James say, hearken. Right? So, hearken is a better word than listen. Because listen, you can walk away. But hearken actually had the meaning if you can't walk away until you understand what you're hearing. Right? So, turn to your neighbor and say, hearken. Okay? We're not going to leave this building until everyone understands. Say, hearken, right? Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. Now, this is the only parable Jesus ever explained, but it sets as a measuring stick. It sets as a way for us to understand all the other parables. Because the way Jesus teaches is one simple message, but keep on expanding it, keep on expanding it. That's why we have the four gospel. And even with the four gospel, we have the rest of the New Testament that there is endless. But if you read the whole 66 books of the Bible, God has a lot of things to tell us about the gospel. It is hidden in the old, but it is revealed in the new. It was a shadow in the old, but now it is a substance of the new. And this is what is happening, then Jesus said, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is a seed sown along the path. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have not since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Remember, hearken is to listen until you get it, but get it is understanding. Understanding is not just a knowledge thing, but understanding is I have it here. Every time you hear here, or understand in the Bible is about you walking in it. It's no longer just visual learning or audio learning or reading it, but you are experiencing it. You are practicing it up. And then this is where it happens, is that there are people who hear, but they did not choose to practice it. They did not want to understand it, what it means. And then the demon comes, the devil comes and steals that away. Or there could be a situation that you receive it with joy. You're so happy. But then unfavorable circumstances come. It is undoing. Oh, what a wonderful message I heard from Pastor today. That the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I'm going to walk out with joy. I'm going to walk out with that victory. I'm going to walk out with love. And you walk to your car and someone scratch it. 2 minutes of you doing, wanting to do something, all the joy that you have of 2 minutes was gone in 2 seconds. Fast and furious. Just all gone. Because they say, you hear, but you did not understand. Remember I say understand is not here, but understand is I'm going to walk it out. I'm going to walk out the truth. Or I can hear, I understand, what a good word, what a good word. Right? What a good word. But the wind came, the rain falls, the flood, that's it. Without trials and tribulation, there is stagnation. Let me explain. How many of you see your life as up, down, up, down, up, down? Oh, only me. How many of you want your life to be up, down? Up, down means your heartbeat. This way means dead already. Flat line. And many times our prayer is, God, give me a flat line. Yo, God will deliver us from trials. Don't worry. He will deliver us from trials. But sometimes we face some things. And it's like sometimes I was just sharing with Rina the other day. Sometimes I get troubled by some of the songs. Thank God we don't sing those songs so Krista can relax. All right? Pastor, say something about me. No, 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 no. He who have ears, let him hear. Okay, now the thing is this. Like sometimes yeah, I come across a song and say, God is in the storm. I disagree. No? Because if your English is not so good like mine, it means God has sent the storm. God is in the storm. Right? You can say, God is with us through the storm. Very good. But God in the storm, God is with us in those things. I know what you mean, we're talking about affirming the presence of God, but when we don't get it right, it seems that God has sent in those hard times, those harsh times. But God may allow those harsh times to tell you, I am a great God. That's why Jesus could rebuke the wind. And he sees us. In fact, one of the first few things Jesus ever taught his disciples is they say he is like a bit like Master Oogway. He teach by not teaching, his teaching. The first few things Jesus taught his disciples is how to rebuke unfavorable circumstances. To the storm, he rebuked. They were, and Jesus said to them, oh, you have very little faith. Means your faith is a short spurt of faith. You could have prolonged and rebuked it, same thing will happen. Next thing, he rebuked the demon-possessed guy, right, with legions, thousands of evil spirits. He rebuked. So you can read through scripture and don't get it, but if you read it with that understanding, in fact, the first few things Jesus ever taught us as a disciple is to rebuke unfavorable circumstances. Don't rebuke your neighbor, please. I rebuke you. No, no, no. Be blessed. But if we can rebuke, means rebuke is not shouting, but rebuke is exercising authority over a situation and say, this is not of God. That's what rebuke actually means. But let's go more than that. It says, the seed falling among the thorns refer to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times, which was sown. What Jesus is saying is, sometimes for the one whose heart is full of thorns, is that sometimes it's about misplaced priority. Sometimes misplaced priority can choke the very life and light of God's truth for us. We can make material goods more important than eternal goods. Okay? That's why he says here, the worries of this life. Now, there is a difference between concern and worry. Anyone knows the difference? Concern is what I can do within my power. Okay? Like I tell Joanne, I'm concerned after June, I have no job. And Joanne say, here's a broom, clean the house, fix things. I got jobs for you. Oh. Now I'm praying, and now I'm worrying. Now. Worrying is getting into the domain that God is in charge. Worrying is to be like God. Is to act like God over circumstances I have no strength to hold on. Or I have no rights even to have it. Because when I worry, I'm trying to act like God. But I can be concerned. That's why the scriptures say we can bring our needs to God. We can pray. I pray for circumstances in my life. I pray for situation. I can pray for my children. I can pray for everything. But the problem lies is I begin to worry, which is not my domain. And Jesus actually is telling us, if you worry, it can choke faith from you. And he said the deceitfulness of wealth. There's nothing wrong with money, right? Paul tells us it is the love of money which is a root to all kinds of evil. To me, money solves a lot of things. You agree? Money can't buy happiness. Okay? But it can solve a lot of things. How many of you don't want money? I'm going to pass the offering back one more time now. You don't want money. Okay? But the problem here lies is, or rather the truth is, money is an amplifier of who you already are. Money is an amplifier of who you already are. Let me explain. If you are a jerk, more money makes you a bigger jerk. If you are stingy, more money will make you stingier. Okay? I met believers who come and tell me, Pastor, if I have $1 million, I will give it to the church. I said, no, you won't. If you won't give me $100 to the church, you won't give me when you have $1 million. That guy's a jerk. Bless him. I rebuke him. Now, but if you are generous, more money will make you what? More generous. Because money is an amplifier of who you are. But the thing here goes further is that, you know, the worries of life is what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 10:5 is casting down imagination. Every high thing that exalts itself above God. And all of us will say we are guilty one way and another. Sometimes we think we have ideas that exalt the things that exalt above God. Come on, people, I speak truth here. My job is important. My promotion is important. My something is important more than what God's trying to tell you about those situations. I exalt those things above the things of God. Paul says you need to cast down all this imagination because this imagination is damaging your faith, your relationship with God because you are worrying over things. He said, how do you cast it down? No, he said, you take captivity. Let's rebuke here. Captivity. All things and submit to the mind of Christ. That means we must think like Jesus. We do not think anything that doesn't reflect the glory and the goodness of Jesus. The challenge for many of us here is that we listen too often to our feelings and we don't speak to our feelings. If every Monday you wake up, believe you me, you discern your feeling, you don't feel like going to work. Right? Oh, I don't feel so good. I don't feel... You know, I think I'm coming down with something. All right, you're coming down with bad attitude. But Jesus, remember, I mean, Paul tells us in Ephesians, speak the truth to one another in love. Okay, that's the truth here is meaning the gospel. Speak the truth to one another in love. And in order for us to speak the truth to one another, we need to speak the truth in love to ourselves. What did the Bible say about me? Who am I in Christ? What do I have in Christ? Because if we allow our feeling to dictate us, things will always go chaotic. Because many times how we our feelings are true, but our feelings may not be truth. Okay? Let me just give a quick example before I close. Okay. Many years ago, when I was pastoring in Singapore, and this explains why I don't like to shake hands with people. Not because I have OCD, but rather I don't want to shake hands because of this incident. Because in a Methodist church, after service, you stand by the door, you shake hands with people, you shake hands. Oh, pastor, there's a good sermon, wonderful. 20 seconds later, they are screaming because someone stretched their car. But wonderful at this point, wonderful. And one day, it has to do with how the church is constructed, that you need to... no point explaining the architect of the church. But basically, a leader was coming towards me, like after service, to shake my hand. But so happened, someone behind me fainted or something to the effect. So I quickly go and help this person. But that leader saw me turn and walk away. He got offended. He said, oh, pastor didn't want to shake my hand. And he refused to talk to me for 2 years. And one day I say, out of the blue, managed to shake his hand. Oh, finally you shook my hand, huh? I said, what do you mean? He said, 2 years ago, not to say I remember, but 2 years ago, you walk away, but I was coming to you, you turn away from me. You are something against me. Thank God I have elephant memory. I said, no, someone fainted. So I was turning to tend to that person. It's not. I said, oh, is that so? I said, yes. And now I say to him, I offended that you are offended. You see, sometimes how we feel may not be true. That's why offense is the number one disease of the Christian church. People are easily offended. But if we speak the truth in love to ourselves, we conquer everything. So in conclusion, I need one thing to ask you. Can we next the last slide, please? Which soil are you? Turn to your neighbor. Can you ask them the same question? Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I'm sure your heart is for us to be the good soil that we will reproduce by multiplying 30, 60, and 100-fold. Then, Lord, you want us to enjoy abundant life. You want to set us free from offense. You want to set us free from unkindness. You want to set us free from worries. You want to set us free from deceitful ideas about life. Because, Lord, you want us to prosper in your truth. Because through the prosperity of your truth, we are set free first from ourselves. But we are set free into the newness of life. Set free into joy. Lord, teach us to sift so we keep always the good things in your Son's most precious name. Amen. Let us all rise. Let us all worship the Lord and give him thanks and offering and praise that he is a God worthy of worship and praise.